The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
My name's Dave Parkinson. This is the final hooter. So this is our own look at the rugby league scene. We also act as the podcast for loverugbyleague.com. And it's a delight to have you along for the ride. Change in the air at Widnes Vikings. They parted company with Dennis Betts last week by virtue of a very brief press release, which read, Widnes Vikings have announced that the club has ended the contract of head coach Dennis Betts with immediate effect. The club would like to put on record its thanks for his contribution for 8 seasons. And a full statement was going to be released in due course. The statement which came out ended up with Francis Cummins taking on the role of interim head coach at the club immediately following the departure of Dennis Betts. James Rule, the chief executive operator of Widnes Vikings, said Dennis can be proud of his contribution to the club over the past 8 years. Whilst it is regrettable to lose someone of his experience and commitment, we believe that it is now the right time for a change in leadership. Dennis leaves with the absolute best wishes of everyone at the club for the future. Naturally, it will take time to identify and recruit a long-term successor to the role. However, we are grateful that Francis Cummins will be stepping up as our head coach on an interim basis. Francis has proven himself to be a talented, dedicated and knowledgeable coach and has earned the respect of staff and teammates from across the club for his contribution since joining Widnes Vikings last September. His appointment brings stability to the team at an important stage of the season and allows us to plan for 2019 whilst offering him the chance to make his own mark on the team. We are thankful also to our Stronghold members, supporters and partners for their support at this time. Dennis Betts was quoted as saying, I've been grateful to have had the opportunity to lead Widnes Vikings as head coach for 8 years. It is with sadness that I leave the club, but I feel proud of what has been achieved during my tenure and of the contributions of our players and back office staff. I'd like to thank everyone who I've worked alongside during my tenure at the club and all who have supported the Vikings both on and off the field. The club has many reasons to be positive for the future, not least the ongoing emergence of its young talent, and I give my best wishes to those who continue to lead the team in future. I hope that the club continues to progress in the seasons ahead. I'm looking forward to my next chapter in the game and I'm grateful for the considerable experience that I've gained with Widnes Vikings. Francis Cummins, he said, well, it's never easy to take on a role in circumstances like this, but I am ready to step up and support the team at this time. On behalf of myself and all the coaching and playing staff, I would like to thank Dennis and wish him every success in the future. In stepping up as interim coach, I will be looking to support our players to fulfil their potential, to express themselves on the field and to grow in confidence. The backing of our members and supporters is absolutely vital to achieving this. We have a number of tough away fixtures coming up before our next home game in July, so this collective unity and support will be key. I'm hoping that everyone can rally around the team to support them and let's have a strong finish to the season.
Find out more. Go to radiogeneral.co.uk.
This is
Warrington Hospital's Feel Better Station.
Radio General.
So very much a changing of the guard at Widnes Vikings with Dennis Betts no longer in charge. I would like to say that it came as a bit of a shock, but when you look at his record, he's only won 12 of his last 54 games. So something had to change really with regard to the Vikings. I was in the stadium the last game that they played against Wakefield, and I've got to be honest, they were terrible. Absolutely awful. Now I know a coach doesn't coach his team to go out and perform so terribly. I know that the coach doesn't drop the passes. I know that the coach doesn't coach the mistakes, but they all stack up. And I've got to be honest, on that particular night, I felt that change needed to happen if Widnes were to go forward. And like everyone's mentioned in these press releases, talk about potential and fulfilling that potential. So there was no game this last weekend for Widnes. It was the quarterfinals of the Ladbrokes Challenge Cup.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, The Final Hooter.
Yes, you're listening to The Final Hooter. We are Radio General's Rugby League show. We are also the podcast for loverugbyleague.com. My name's Dave Parkinson, your host for this evening. And we mentioned before that we'd be looking at the Ladbrokes Challenge Cup quarterfinals. Yes, we had four very different games, to be honest, over the course of the weekend, starting last Thursday night when Huddersfield Giants hosted Catalans Dragons, and I think both of these sides were doing their level best to send everyone to sleep. The main interesting thing about this particular game, as far as I was concerned, was the bloke who had the cowbell in the crowd. He was starting to play it, and you could hear at one point as well some people singing happy birthday to somebody else, and that seemed to be a little bit more intriguing than the fare that we were all treated to on the field. Initially, there was two penalty goals from Josh Drinkwater for Catalans Dragons, which took them to a 4-0 half-time advantage. Leroy Cudjoe, who's only just back from injury, he was a positive sign for the Huddersfield Giants, him actually getting out on the field and strutting his stuff. He came up with a try after 42 minutes. That was converted by Danny Brough to give Huddersfield Giants a 6-4 advantage. But then it was all Catalans Dragons as David Mead and Greg Bird both scored. Mead going over after 45 minutes, Bird going over after 67 minutes. Drinkwater was exemplary with the boot, kicking 6 from 6 in all as Catalans Dragons won through by 20 points to 6. Fortunately, the game on Friday night was a little bit more interesting, but the result was all done and dusted by half time. Early on between Leeds Rhinos and Leeds Centurions, there was very little between the sides, and in fact the Centurions had opened the scoring with a try after 5 minutes from Nathan Mason, but unfortunately then the sending off, and it was a deserved sending off as well, and Peter Matautia, after getting sin-binned at Blackpool, gets himself sent off in the Challenge Cup quarter-final. He's facing a lengthy ban for what I can only describe as something of almost a wrestling move on Matt Parcell, the Leeds hooker. Parcell was able to continue for about a minute afterwards before being withdrawn, and then he didn't get back on the field due to the concussion protocols that we now have in rugby league, but it didn't seem to affect Leeds too much. They took complete control, scoring 7 first half tries with only a bit of respite as far as the Centurions were concerned through Drew Hutchison. So Briscoe scored 2 tries. Jack Walker, who's an outstanding prospect, he's a guy that is really impressing me every time that I see him play for Leeds, he stepped up with a try. Handley went over for a try. Kynehorst got through and ended up doing his hamstring or his calf or some sort of leg injury, which looks like he's going to be out for a few weeks. And then Golding went in after 27 minutes. It was a nightmare period for the Centurions, who conceded, 3, 4, 5, 6 tries in the space of 17 minutes. And that was virtually with only one touch of the ball for the Centurions in between that time. Myler completed the first half scoring spree with a try. And then in the second half, it was a little bit closer. You got the feeling that Lee Boss, Kieran Pirtle, had actually told his side, don't look at the scoreboard, go out, pretend that it's 0-0, and let's have a battle here. And they certainly did. There was a couple of good tries from Ben Crooks and Liam Hood, once upon a time a former Leeds Rhinos junior. However, they were tempered with tries by Smith and Cuthbertson in the last minute. Lilly advancing his goal tally to end up with 8 out of 10. Ben Reynolds kicking 3 out of 4 for the Centurions. Ultimately, though, it was Leeds Rhinos' day in a game played at Featherstone in front of 3,277. Leeds Rhinos winning 52 points to 22 against Leeds Centurions. Leeds did have another man sent off near the end. Matty Dawson-Jones ended up, what's the term? Giving a gobful, I think, to the match officials, and ended up getting marching for whatever was said. Leeds also finished with 12 men, having seen Brett Ferris sin-binned for an incident that also saw Jamie Acton sin-binned as well, about 5 minutes from the end. The interesting thing about that game, though, was that in the build-up to it, the Leeds boss, Brian McDermott, had actually said and he'd actually said regarding this game that he was expecting some strong arm tactics and he wanted strong refereeing. He gets in front of the TV cameras right at the end and he said that last 20 minutes was like turning the clock back 30 years. Now, in his pre-match comments, he'd actually referenced an old referee called Fred Lindop, who refereed during the 1980s. So he got his wish really then, didn't he? If he wanted a Fred Lindop type referee in display, and he's saying that the last 20 minutes got turned back to the 1980s. Interesting stuff. I'm not a fan of that type of behaviour, to be honest. I'm not a fan of, first of all, players deciding to shout at match officials. Match officials have got to deal with stuff the same as anybody else. The human mistakes will be made. In a few minutes' time, we're going to be hearing from Ian Smith, who was speaking at a State of Mind event, and he'll describe exactly how that sort of behaviour made him feel during his days as a referee. And it's something that is increasing, and we need to drum it out of the game. So if that means Matty Dawson-Jones has to take a long ban as a result of what he said, then he has to take a long ban. But I don't know. It's it was strange sort of reading all about a sending off affecting the game so much. Leeds Rhinos deserve a lot of credit. Leeds deserve a lot of credit for what they did in the second half. Then came the big game. The big game as far as everyone at Radio General was concerned. Warrington Wolves taking on Wigan Warriors. Now, just a couple of weeks previous, up at Newcastle, Wigan had been dominant. They won by 38 points to 10. It was a complete turnaround of events on Saturday as the Wolves built a 16 points to nil half-time advantage thanks to tries from Kevin Brown and Ben Murdoch-Masilla and Josh Charnley scoring the 200th try of his rugby league career. Livette kicking a couple of goals there, and in the second half, well, it didn't quite live up to expectations of the first. Ended up with Declan Patton scoring in the very last minute, and that came after a drop goal from Roberts and another goal from Goodwin. But an impressive performance, 23 points to nil, Warrington Wolves won in the end against Wigan, and they've set up a semi-final spot. So the other game in the quarterfinals was St Helens against Hull FC, and I didn't actually see this one live, but I did watch it a little bit later on, and they were very impressive, St Helens. I like the way that Hull FC didn't panic, kept battling right until the end. They had a couple of men sin-binned Hull, but they didn't let it phase them too much. They just got stuck in, got on with the job. St Helens actually built a 23 points to 12 half-time lead thanks to a couple of tries from Percival. He's an outstanding player. He's in some great form at the moment, and surely he's a shoe-in for an England spot. Regan Grace also scored two tries with Richardson, who for me is also one of the form halfbacks in the competition and should get an international selection, kicking four goals from five and also adding a drop goal as well. For Hull, they had tries from Kelly, Green, Taylor and Melody, with Connor kicking three goals from four attempts. So that set up the semi-finals. The semi-finals just being played in one venue this season. That one venue is the Macron Stadium over at Bolton. Interesting. Interesting. A double header. What do you think? I think it's a good idea, to be honest, because for a number of years, semi-finals have garnered little interest. Okay, there was one that I went to a few years ago involving Castleford and Widnes, which was sold out over at the Lee Sports Village. But other games that I've been to, other semi-finals that I've seen over the last 20 years, they haven't really garnered the sort of appeal that you'd think the premier knockout competition in rugby league could muster. So I don't blame the rugby league for trying something a little bit different. It's a bit innovative, isn't it, holding two games on one day. It's a precedent has been set, I suppose, with regards to things like the Magic Weekend and the Blackpool Summer Bash. So to get two games on one day, great value for money.
Armed Forces Day, Why support it?
My dad is my inspiration to support Armed Forces Day. He gave so much to the country.
There are people that put the country before themselves to secure our freedom.
As a United Kingdom, I think we've got amazing armed forces.
I'm supporting Armed Forces Day because of the sacrifice they make to protect our country.
Armed Forces Day is on Saturday, the 30th of June. Show your support by saluting our forces at an event near you. Visit armedforcesday.org.uk.
That Change for Life is all about small changes to help make us and our families healthier. Like, a lot of food contains more sugar than you might think, and eating too much can make us put on weight, which may lead to heart disease, type 2 diabetes and even cancer. Making sugar swaps is a great way to stay healthy, and it's so simple. Instead of sweets, swap them for fruit. And for fizzy drinks, try no added sugar or sugar-free ones. Just check the label. It's easy to be food smart. For more help with sugar swaps, search Change for Life online.
If you see somebody showing any of the signs of a stroke, you don't have to think about it. You just dial 999. Use the FAST test. F, face. Has their face fallen on one side? Can they smile? A, arms. Can they raise both arms and keep them there? S, speech. Is their speech slurred? T, time. Time to call 999 if you see any one of these signs. Act fast. Make the call. Dial 999.
Keep in touch via Twitter. Just follow at Radio General WHR.
Your Feel Better Station.
Radio General. The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the final hooter.
So we know the sides that made it through to the semi-finals of the Ladbrokes Challenge Cup. The sides, just to remind you, Catalans Dragons winning 20-6 at Huddersfield Giants. Leeds Rhinos, who defeated Lee Centurions 52-22 at Featherstone. St Helens, who defeated Hull FC 25-22 over in St Helens. And of course, the big one, as far as everybody at Radio General was concerned, Warrington Wolves 23, Wigan Warriors 0. That means that they've made the semi-finals, and as I hinted at before, this semi-final is all taking place on the same day. It's a double header. It's over at the Macron Stadium in Bolton, and the draw has resulted in St Helens being drawn against Catalans Dragons and Warrington Wolves being drawn against Leeds Rhinos. It's going to be a fascinating afternoon of entertainment. The only trouble is when we're recording this, it's what, early June? We're broadcasting live, it's the 5th of June, and these semi-finals don't take place until the 5th of August. There's a heck of a gap now, as everybody has got a tone themselves and get themselves put back onto the league structure. I just wish it was a little bit tighter, to be honest. It would be a little bit better from a scheduling point of view, but I'm sure that's something that they'll look at. Talking about winning, and there was another win in Super League for the Castleford Tigers. They went over to Hull Kingston Rovers. This was one of the games that got postponed earlier this season. And Cass Tigers, they were too good for Hull Kingston Rovers, defeating them by 42-14 on the day. Hull Kingston Rovers had tries from Ryan Shaw, he scored two, and Clarkson, who got one, Shaw kicking one goal. And the Castleford Tigers' points came courtesy of two tries from youngster Kieran Gill, one from Greg Eden, one from Foster, one from Cook, one from skipper Mike Shenton, two from Jai Hitchcock, and five goals from the boot of Jamie Ellis. Again, like a couple of those games that I spoke about in the Challenge Cup, this one was just about decided at half time. Castleford Tigers had already built a 28-4 half time advantage. Nice crowd at Hull Kingston Rovers, just over 7,000 for that one. And Castleford Tigers, with that win, moving up to fourth position in the league. They've still got a game in hand of those sides above them. And how that top eight looks in Super League at the moment: St Helens 4 points clear of Wigan in second. St Helens having won 28 points, Wigan on 24 points. Then it's Warrington Wolves and 22 points in third position. Castleford Tigers took just behind them with 20 points. Then it's Hull FC in 5th, Leeds Rhinos 6th, Wakefield Trinity in 7th, and Huddersfield Giants clinging onto that 8th spot that they won the other week with a good result. Then the bottom four is Salford Red Devils, Catalans Dragons, Hull Kingston Rovers, and Widnes Vikings propping up the rest. There were two games in the Championship at the weekend. Again, both of these were rearranged fixtures that were lost due to the earlier weather that we had in the year. One of them was over at Swinton, played at Hayward Road in Sale, of course. That was a commentary that was carried via the Love Rugby League Facebook page. And Rochdale Hornets did it exceptionally well, leading 18 points to 4 at half time, just holding off a late comeback from the Swinton Lions to win by 25 points to 18. Couple of tries there for Swinton from Rodri Lloyd, and two also for Chris Hankinson. Hankinson was only able to add one goal from three attempts. Jack Hansen missed with the other goal attempt for the Swinton Lions. For Rochdale, they had tries from Danny Yates and Middlehurst and Rob Massam, and then Dion Cross went over for a real scorcher of a try early in the second half. Tyler Whittaker has done incredibly well since stepping up from Warrington Amateur Rugby. He had been playing over at Crossfields earlier, had represented Warrington in the different age groups and academy, what have you, coming through the ranks. And Whittaker, he's really settled in over recent weeks over at Rochdale. I thought it was a pivotal performance from him. Kicked four goals from five attempts and landed a drop goal as well. The other game taking place in the Championship was between Batley Bulldogs and Halifax. Halifax deserves some immense credit. They won by 32 points to 18 on the day. Tries from Chester Butler, Ben Johnston, James Saltonstall, two from Ben Heaton, and one from the point scorer supreme, that is Steve Tyra, who also kicked four goals. Batley come up with a couple of tries from Joel Farrell and Harrison. With Pat Walker back in the side, he landed three goals from three attempts. And again, Halifax were in complete command at half time, winning by 22 points to 6. They eventually won through by 32 points to 18. And why I'm going so big on Halifax at the moment, with that win, they've climbed up into third place in the Betfred Championship, which is an impressive effort from them, in all honesty. I suppose, compared with some other sides around them, they don't have the biggest salary cap in the world. They're doing things right, I suppose, as a club as well, aren't they? Because they've got a reserve structure. They've got players that have been going through that into the first team, which is just the type of thing that you want in a reserve structure to provide. And what's more, they've won 10 and drawn one of their 15 games so far. So that has seen them climb into third position. Toronto Wolfpack well on top, 27 points from their 15 games. Then Toulouse Olympique took behind them with 22 points from their 15 games. Halifax have 21 points, took just behind them. And London Broncos are in fourth with 20 points. Then there's just point difference separating London Broncos from Featherstone Rovers, who also have 20 points, and Lee Centurions are now sitting in 6th position, 2 points back from both Featherstone and London, but breathing down their necks. The rest of the division is made up of Batley Bulldogs, Barrow Raiders, Dewsbury Rams, Sheffield Eagles, Rochdale Hornets climbed off the bottom of the table following their win at Swinton, and Swinton Lions have replaced them as bottom of the Championship. Looking into League One, and there was a bit of a truncated fixture list this week, just the three fixtures to tell you about. West Wales Raiders hosted Newcastle Thunder. This was a game that got lost early on in the season. I think it came down to either the unavailability of some medical kit or the unavailability of a doctor, but it was played, fortunately, at the weekend. West Wales Raiders as well, putting up a bit of a fight as well. They scored four tries during the game from Baker, Parry, Elliott and Kislingbury, with Williams kicking two goals. Unfortunately, Newcastle Thunder were just too strong for them. Couple of tries from Clark, couple of tries from Sydney, couple of tries from Fitzsimmons, three tries from Young, one each for Calland, Morris, McAvoy, Ritson, Brooke and Marginet. Marginet kicking five goals from nine attempts, Brooke kicking six goals from six. Ultimately, Newcastle Thunder winning by 82 points to 20. Hunslet also played. They played on Saturday and they took on Whitehaven, and this was a high scoring game as well. Sanderson was the star there. He scored a try, kicked 7 goals as well, and Southernwood dropped a goal just a couple of minutes from the end. There were other tries from Aston, Fogging Johnston, and that is somebody's name, Fogging Johnston scoring 2 tries, Watson and Vadudu scoring in the last minute. For Whitehaven, there was a try from Dion I, from Forster, from Taylor, Parker and Cooper, with young Dan Abram scoring 6 goals from 6 attempts. And then, this is a great result, by the way, this next one that I'm going to read out. Oldham 32, Doncaster 12. While a lot of people have been talking about Bradford Bulls and York City Knights, and quite rightly, I suppose, they've been setting the standard, I suppose, in Betfred League One. Oldham are just behind them now, and they've been coming into some real solid form themselves over recent weeks. Really good win against Doncaster, 32 points to 12. Tries for Oldham from Langtree, on loan Hooley, Nelms, Kershaw and Joy, with Crook kicking 6 goals from 7 attempts. And for Doncaster, there was a couple of tries from Wilkinson and Tarley, with goals split between Howden and Sanderson, 1 each for them pair. But at half time, Oldham were in command, leading by 16 points to nil, and went on to complete what I thought was a really, really good victory. So that's the roundup of results.
Did you know that you can listen to Radio General from your mobile device on the internet? Well, tune in at radiogeneral.co.uk. Click the Listen Live link and enjoy Radio General away from your bed. Listen everywhere at radiogeneral.co.uk.
Okay, so I've told you about the results from Betfred League One. I've told you about the results from the Betfred Championship. Let's have a look at the Betfred League One table. I've mentioned the top three, which currently consists of Bradford Bulls on 20 points, York City Knights on 18 points, and Oldham on 16 points. There's then a whole logjam of teams. So Doncaster, Workington Town, Keighley Cougars, Whitehaven and Hunslet, all locked on 14 points each, with 7 wins from the 11 games so far this season. Newcastle Thunder have been a little bit more patchy with their form, winning 5 of the 11 games, and then beneath them there's North Wales Crusaders with 9 points on the league ladder, London Scholars with 7 points, and then the bottom three is Coventry Bears, who've won 1 of their 10 games this season, Hemel Stags and West Wales, both of which haven't won as of yet.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Yes, it is the Final Hooter, and we're talking Rugby League between now and 8 o'clock. My name's Dave Parkinson, and it's great to have you along for the ride. Now, one thing that I did want to talk about, there is a Guinness World Record attempt that's going to be taking place at the Halliwell Jones Stadium tomorrow. This is the world's largest mental health awareness session. It's going to take place at the Halliwell Jones Stadium between 5 and 7pm tomorrow evening. So that's Wednesday evening. If you're listening to this on the podcast, then it may have already taken place. If it hasn't and you're listening to it before, then get yourself along. So the gates open at 5pm. There's going to be some entertainment on beforehand, and the record numbers will be counted up from 6pm onwards. They're also going to be filming the event as well. And it's really worthwhile, I think, to explore mental health, that risk of heading into, you know, health and well-being, which we're also a part of here at Radio General. You know, statistically, 1 in 4 people will have mental health issue or a mental health illness over the course of their lifetime. So that's a lot of people. One such person that had a lot of issues, it would be fair to say, was Danny Sculthorpe. I went over to a State of Mind awareness session, which was taking place at the AJ Bell Stadium last Friday. It was a media event, obviously with the State of Mind round coming up in Super League. The charity was very keen to talk about its aims, objectives, and also what it does. And it was really interesting, sort of sitting in the room and listening to some guys such as the former referee Ian Smith, from Danny Sculthorpe, from Phil Vivas, who used to play at St Helens and coached at Salford and Workington. And it was really interesting hearing their sort of take on depression and how the State of Mind charity goes and helps people. And I was really uplifted by it. First of all, I was surprised at just how frank some of the stories were. You know, and you're going to hear a brief synopsis of kind of how it affected Ian Smith, the former referee, during his days with the whistle. And then Danny Sculthorpe, well, I think the guy's an inspiration, so you'll get to hear him as well. Let us go over, first of all, and hear from Ian Smith, the former Super League referee.
My name's Ian Smith. Referee 12 years in Super League, full-time and part-time referee, just shot at 300 games. The one thing I struggled with was the negativity and the abuse towards match officials. Just getting out of your car, walking to your ground, walking to the ground, you would get lots of negative comments. And what negativity does in all walks of life, it challenges your confidence, your self-esteem and your ability to perform your role. And like Danny, as a typical man, I hid that and said everything was okay, but... But all that negativity just hits away at your confidence. And then when I left the RFL after a 20-year relationship, really, I was out to work. And that's where I really struggled. Felt I lost my focus and a purpose to get out of bed in the morning. And now working with State of Mind and going around giving the positive messages that it is okay to talk. You know, and negativity and abuse in any walk of life is out of order. So it's about staying positive, and if you can't say anything nice about somebody, don't say anything at all. And one person's banter is another person's bullying. So let's try and be positive and be compassionate with our human beings.
So there you have it. I think that sums it up, really, from Ian Smith. Really good to hear him speak and to give that impression. And yeah, it opens another can of worms, doesn't it, with regards to people's behaviour towards referees, match officials. Certainly, back when I started watching rugby league, there seemed to be a lot more respect for the man in the middle. Basically, even if he got it wrong, what he said went. These days, he's got people arguing at him. So not only does he have all the energy from the terraces trying to have a go at him, he's also faced with players sort of coming to him. And these are guys that they're not the skipper. In the olden days, it used to be the captain that had the rank of being able to speak to the referee. These days, other people seem to have sort of slipped in, and I don't know where we kind of lost it, and I think it's something that we need to look at getting back. Now, I mentioned before about a guy that I heard speak at this particular event, Danny Sculthorpe, who's really made an impression on me personally, because he spoke very frankly about his battle with depression, and also the way that his life has turned round. So it just shows that, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel. And in fact, let's hear from Danny right now as he takes up the story.
It was a tough period in my life. You know, I've been a rugby league player for all my career, and that got cut short, and I suffered from depression quite badly because the club that I was at just let me go, which meant I lost everything. I lost my job, my career, and when I had two young kids and a wife that I couldn't support, we lost our family house, and that's when the depression in me started, and suffered from suicidal thoughts. And you know, I was lucky enough that people noticed a difference in me. I managed to get help, support, and managed to speak to people, and that's what saved my life. And then Phil Cooper, co-founder of State of Mind, asked me to join him, to get involved with State of Mind, and I've never looked back. And I'm happier now than I've ever been, which just shows that, you know, mental health issues can be fixed. You know, we try and tell people that physical health and mental health are exactly the same. The sooner you get it fixed, the sooner you're going to be back performing, and the sooner you're going to be enjoying life again, and that's exactly what I'm doing.
Looking at these sort of events that we've just experienced today, how many of these do you tend to deliver in a month?
in a month. Oh, it can be four a day. It could be 15 a week. It could be 30, 40 sessions a month. Or it could be five. You know, it just depends on how busy it is. But at the minute, it's just it's absolute manic. We're just everywhere. You know, our big one at the minute is in construction, an alpha male type kind of business like rugby, where the banter's pretty ruthless, and it's that alpha male where men think they can't speak about how they're feeling. But once we've left and we've done our talk, and you know the guys are they're putting their names forward to doing mental health first aid courses, and they're opening up and they're talking, and it's just saving lives. You know I just tell them that if you can admit you're struggling, if you seek help, then I reckon you're more of a man than if you don't.
And there is a rugby league is sort of a real forward-thinking sport in reflecting this and actually having a round of fixtures around this whole issue as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, rugby league is the only sport in the world that has a round of fixtures dedicated to mental health, which is absolutely fantastic. The RFL give us a round of fixtures, which was, you know, we wasn't probably expecting that at the beginning, but as soon as we delivered to the chief execs and the chairmen of all these clubs, they just got it. The players get it, and now we do it every year, and you know, hopefully anytime soon we'll be going back to the players and doing these sessions again and just re-educating them on about being able to speak and talk about how they're feeling.
Have you seen a real difference within rugby league players since you've started delivering this?
Oh yeah, massively. You know, the rugby league used to have a confidential helpline before 2011 for people who were suffering from mental health issues. Not one single player had ever rang it. But since 2011, over 200 players have sought help through Sporting Chance. Now, even if there's only about 900 in the country, that is just like the same average as people in the world. One in four people will suffer from a mental health issue, or know someone who'll suffer from a mental health issue. So the stigma's being broken down, which is great, because what we know is that it's the stigma that's killing people. It's not the stress, anxiety, depression. It's the stigma that's attached to it. So the more people can speak about it and get it off the chest, you know, the more chance they're going to be mentally well.
And it's good that it is transversing itself into, you know, like you touched upon there with the construction industry,
yeah,
that it's transversing into, I'd say, other sections of life as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There isn't one section of life where we don't go. We're in schools, colleges, universities, we're in power stations, we're in the police, the fire service, rugby teams, now construction, and construction's massive. You know, a lot of guys are working 60-70 hours a week, they're working away from home Monday to Friday, they're feeling like the part-time parents, which is getting on top of them. They're working long shifts, so they're eating poor and sleeping not great, because if they're working down in London, you know, they're all in the same digs, there's a mattress on the floor, they're going home, they're sleeping, and then they're up, so they're eating poor. And again, diet is a massive part on mental health as well. And you know, it's just great that these companies all over the country are buying into, you know, the more mentally fit that their workforce is, the more outcome they'll get. But also there's a word called presenteeism, where guys are actually in work but they're not performing at the best because they're fatigued, or they're suffering from any mental health issue, which, you know, these companies are getting.
So that was Danny Sculthorpe there. Some great work that charity is doing. And just to reinforce it, the State of Mind round in Super League is taking place between the 14th and the 17th of June this year. So it's a couple of weeks off, but get yourself involved, have a look at it. And of course, we've got the Guinness World Record attempt as well for what's going on at Warrington and the Halliwell Jones Stadium tomorrow. We've just about got enough time to go through the fixtures for this weekend, starting off in Super League with Wakefield against Wigan. Hull FC are taking on Salford Red Devils. Leeds Rhinos are at home to Huddersfield Giants. St Helens host Hull Kingston Rovers. And Friday night, the game you'll be able to hear live on Radio General, Warrington Wolves take on Castleford Tigers. On Saturday, Catalans Dragons take on Widnes Vikings. In the Bretford Championship, we have two games on Saturday. Toronto Wolfpack host London Broncos. Toulouse Olympique are at home to Batley Bulldogs. And on Sunday, we see Barrow Raiders at home to Rochdale Hornets. Featherstone Rovers travel over to Dewsbury Rams. Halifax are on the travels to Leigh Centurions, and Sheffield Eagles, they'll host Swinton Lions. Betfred League One as well sees a full round of fixtures too. Started on Saturday as Bradford Bulls host North Wales Crusaders. London Scholars are at home to Hunslet. West Wales Raiders are at home to Hemel Stags. And on Sunday, it's Coventry Burghs taking on Oldham. Doncaster against Keighley Cougars, Newcastle Thunder against Whitehaven, and York City Knights taking on Workington Town. We also just have enough time just to inform you of some of the disciplinary cases that have been heard and some of the punishments that have been handed down. So Danny Brough has been banned for 3 matches, fined £500, and has forfeited on a £500 bond as well. Peter Matautia, he played a guilty to the grade E dangerous throw charge and has been banned for 4 matches and fined £250. Matty Dawson Jones has pleaded guilty to a grade E questioning integrity of a match official charge, and the player has been banned for 5 matches and was fined £250. And the following penalty notices have also been issued by the match review panel. So Peter Matautia for a high tackle has got a 1 match penalty notice. Steve Tyra has faced a grade B trip and has been served with a 1 match penalty notice. Kieran Dixon from London Broncos will serve a 1 match penalty notice for a grade B high tackle. Scott Law of Keighley Cougars, he will face no further action for a grade A high tackle. Vinnie Finnegan has been given a 2 match penalty notice for a dangerous lift. Reese Butterworth has been given a 1 match penalty notice for foul and abusive language to a match official, and Anthony Mullally has been issued with a 1 match penalty notice for raising the knee in the tackle. That's just about us done and dusted. Hope you've enjoyed the show.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.